Welcome to Department of Homelander Security, the officially unofficial podcast for the boys on Amazon Prime. I'm Jim.
I'm A-Rod.
And today we're talking Season 3, Episode 8, The Instant White Hot Wild. It's the season finale, A-Rod. What did you think?
I couldn't help but be a little disappointed. I thought it felt anticlimactic. I thought there was some real in the denouement that there was some like really puzzling decisions. Like I would like someone to explain to me how Maeve lived.
Sure.
Through all that. I don't feel like they did a good job of paying off the father son kind of trauma dynamics. Like there's a lot, you know, I feel like they kind of got there with mother's milk. But the central, the meat of the show, which is the, you know, Ryan Homelander, Soldier Boy triumvirate, I didn't think really felt like it gelled and came together. But on the other hand, I do still like the shape of next season. It looks like we're finally going to get Homelander completely unleashed. But that just goes back to like, this is starting to make me feel like I felt in, you know, right before I bailed on Better Call Saul. Like, holy shit. We're going into another season. Oh my God, Homelander's uncorked now. What's he? He's jerking off on the top of the Empire State Building. What's he going to? You know, it's like, okay, well, what are they going to do to cork him at the beginning of next season? Because they're not going to kill him in the first episode. So we've got another season of this stuff. I guess there's something like Butcher is, you know, but like, I don't know what the stakes on this show are, because I feel like Maeve should have died. You know, Butcher should have died. They said that, you know, he would take, if you take a lethal a dose of compound V, I didn't know that you had like 18 months to live. There's stuff that I just wasn't sure about. And the battle, like, I felt like the show kind of peaked in Herogasm, which was kind of a disappointing episode.
Yeah, similarly.
In itself. Yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think the season started really strong and kind of petered out. I was not super impressed with this finale, especially coming off the back of season two, where its finale was so fucking good. So climactic, right? Like, yeah, you didn't have Homelander being dealt with or anything, but you had Rebecca dying at the hands of Ryan, and just the raw emotion that elicited from all of the characters involved was so affecting. And in this, I felt none of it. Probably because I don't give a shit about Soldier Boy. Probably because I hate Homelander. The only character I could have cared about in any of this is Maeve. And to a lesser degree, Butcher, I suppose. But like, yeah, I felt like this was much ado about nothing by the end. And they did make good on some of the stuff with its main theme of, you know, the boys and troubled fathers. And I think there's some decent stuff in there about like what makes a parent, right? Is it biological? Is it the person who takes care of you? Like who is Homelander's parent? It's not Soldier Boy. Is it Vought? Although Soldier Boy is biologically his father, he was not around. So like, same thing goes with MM, right? Like, is he not going to be around for his daughter? I think there's some interesting stuff there, but man, the main story here that they're telling just does not come to any satisfying conclusion in this season.
And they spent so much time, like a whole episode's worth, probably in the course of the entire 8-episode season, dwelling on Black Noir and his motivations and his, and then he just gets pasted, which makes me think that would be storytelling malpractice. So I don't think Black Noir is dead, but that is also storytelling malpractice. If you set up a scenario in which no one can ever really die, and I, you know, this is funny because we're doing Westworld is just starting up, and that's one of the things that it struggles with its storytelling, is like, how do you ever have stakes if no one can ever really be permadeath, you know, if there's no such thing as that in that universe? And I'm starting to really feel like that. And I wouldn't have thought the Black Noir would live, except for Maeve did. And I've seen Black Noir get his brains beat out and come back to life. Like, oh, you ripped his spleen out? Oh, no, he'll have to take two Tylenol and take an extra long nap, but he's going to be fine. It's stuff like that is a little bit frustrating. These are not fatal flaws. Because they're also showing like the other thing is like I also am getting a little fatigued with shows accurately describing the world and the predicament we're in.
Oh boy!
And then having nothing to say about it other than really in a jam, aren't we? Like shit, yeah.
And it's a little too accurate in this. I don't know his fucking moniker, but they have Bullhorn's naked caveman dude in a fucking scene in this. You know, the guy from the riots, the January 6th riot, Capitol riot.
Oh, did they? I didn't see the shaman.
He's just in it. It's not like
QAnon shaman.
It's a sly play on it. No, he's just fucking
in
it.
The literal guy is in there?
Oh, I don't think it's the literal guy as the actor, but the costume is is literally like one for one reproduction.
Yeah.
So like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Are we trying to say something interesting about it? And if so, when? Because
yeah,
so far it's all set up and no knockdown, but.
Yeah. It was a weird, cause I was, and I had some people that wrote in were kind of like, a little, they thought that the reveal that Soldier Boy was Homelander's dad was a jump to shark moment. And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's like, let's see what they do with it. They could do something interesting with it. But this episode, I don't think met the bar of did something interesting with it. So now
I agree.
It's one of those things where it's like, I think it's premature to say something jumped to shark. Cause you don't know. You really only know when something jumps to shark in retrospect. The other theory I've got is maybe this is Justified 2.0. Now, if you haven't seen Justified, Justified had a, you know, pretty interesting, okay first season. A second season that's like, smack your mama, drop your jaw good. And then another three seasons of four seasons of just fine television. Good. Great even at points. But nothing that got as high as it did in season two. Mm-hmm. I don't know if The Boys is going to have a similar fate where season two was just so crazy good and outside the envelope of what it could because the unique combinations of personalities and characters and motivations, and you can only kill Butcher's Becca once. I wonder if they're just never going to be able to get back to that emotional high of storytelling again.
I thought they had something with Lenny.
That doesn't mean it's bad because Justify was good.
Sure.
Excellent even for it, but it just wasn't as good as that one shining second season.
And I enjoy moments of this episode. It's not like it's all bad. It's just like,
oh no,
ultimately what did it come to? And it didn't feel satisfying.
And it always sucks when the finale like slightly deflates because like, man, you think of the penultimate and finale episode of last season and it just was the perfect pacing, brought us all to a fever pitch, had our mind reeling about the implications. This, not so much. Not so much. Like I said, I'm curious of what happens next. I'm curious if they have, but again, you know, we're going to start the next season in the exact same spot. The fact that Stan Edgar just disappeared.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that he was gonna walk in at Vought Tower during the middle and then do something. Presumably maybe he's still pulling the strings of Victoria somehow. And like we talked about a couple episodes ago, how this could be a long kind of rope-a-dope Stan Edgar type of plot. But yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorite, most intriguing characters. And the fact I don't know anything more about him than I did at the beginning of season two is disappointing. The fact that Homelander is in the exact same storytelling position as he was at the end of the last three seasons. Yeah, nice. It's frustrating. We talked about what this show looks like if it doesn't have Butcher and it doesn't have Homelander, and I think the answer is there is no show because I think once those two are gone, like it feels next season's very last season, unless
potentially
what they pump Butcher full of V because that's the solution to his problem, right?
Sure, get the perma V.
Yeah, just pump for the perma V. Like that's the thing, like Maeve, like. Just pump her full of perma V. Why not?
Right. Yeah. You know? She'll get her powers back. She doesn't.
Right. We know there's no penalty for that at all. Like I wish that there was. I wish that like if you re-V'd, there was a 50% chance you're going to just explode or something. Because
so far it's 100% worked as far as we know. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think this technically, like from a writing perspective, this episode is also messy. It is just like Fast and Furious jumping around all over the place at the beginning of the episode from like. Moment we need to hit to set everything up to next moment we need to hit to set everything up. And it's fast. Yeah. It's like it'll spend 5 seconds with a character setting up an important thing for later and then just kind of move on to the next important thing it's setting up. And that can feel good. That can feel rewarding. But here it felt very disjointed. Like I was just being pushed through this fucking story tube that I had to get to the end of.
Yeah. Well, and it's like also, is this a shining example of like stakes and motivations matter above all else? You know, we talk about the Empire Strikes Back sword fight, this lightsaber fight's the best in the entire Star Wars history because it had meaning. You know, like others are much, you know, shit we saw in the prequels, much more technically sophisticated and visually, like, the, you know, there's nothing compared to like what the end of Revenge of the Sith is. But Revenge of the Sith is like this 20-minute long lightsaber fight that you're bored. You're like, oh God, they're still fighting? Jesus Christ. Last season, Starlight, Maeve, and Kimiko kicking the shit out of Stormfront on the ground. Just stomping on her. Just beating the shit. That wasn't a technically sophisticated fight, but oh my God, watching it felt so goddamn good because they had this whole through line of girls get it done and it was all a sham and then became real. And then the Becca Butcher's Ryan Homelander was a pretty not especially exciting fight, but it, oh my God, it was so resonant. This is like a 20-minute long battle royale that rages through Vought's Tower, but who gives a shit about Soldier Boy? Everything was muddled. Like the only thing that actually worked was Huey finally learning to trust and instead of trying to save Starlight, support her. Yep. That's the only thing that kind of like worked as a through line through that fight. The rest was just, it was a much more exciting fight than anything we saw, I think, last year. It just, you know, the stakes were a little muddy. So again, not a bad season, not even a bad finale. It's just disappointing compared to what it was last year.
Totally.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the Premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well, lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun fan favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info. All right. I think it's about time we get to the recap. What do you say?
Well, before we do, any thoughts on what the hell the instant white hot wild is? Is that?
I have no idea. It's got to be just the name of one of the comics, right?
It's got to be, but like all the when you put in that phrase, it's like the only results that return are talking about the show and the upcoming episode. Usually when it's like referencing a, you know, like Hero Gaz, like there's like you'll in the top five links, you know, the hero, the boys wiki gets referenced. And then I don't know. It reminded me of like the Wild Woolly Whites of West Virginia, the documentary. What? The instant white hot wild, you know. You haven't
sure.
You haven't seen or heard of that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to seg into a description of that. Okay. So maybe we just get rid of all that.
Sure. All right, let's get into the recap. We're going to start off with, like I said, a couple of really rapid fire scenes here. Homelander visits Ryan and tells him that he's not mad at him for killing his mom and promises to always be there for him. It's a very unlike Homelander scene. He's almost sweet in this scene to his child.
And he's been able to do that. Like, the thing is like, I think Homelander knows the right thing to do and he wants to do it. It's just that he's got ultimate power and he's never, like, he gets frustrated and he takes shortcuts.
Sure.
You know, when something doesn't happen in his, like, ideal little cookie cutter plan, he gets violent and angry. But I like this because it felt very much like Smallville, Superboy, you know, Clark Kent discovering his powers, the kid throwing a, you know, fastball. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of weird stuff, like Grace, Colonel Mallory, you know, Homelander calls her out. It's like, oh, you're doing something with your big clumsy feet. And then they have an insert shot of her continuing to fuck with her phone before she throws it down, which made me think that, well, there's going to be a response to this. There never is.
Hmm. Yeah.
It felt like, I said, this is like where, like, and there's a couple points where we'll talk about where I felt like there was some scenes missing or they abandoned things and then they didn't edit them out, because if Homelander succeeded in keeping her from alerting her forces or whatever, then why the inset of her fucking with her phone before she threw it down and tracking the phone? Like, it's like, this is an important thing. Ah, it wasn't.
Also, what's the consequence if, like, her forces show up?
Yeah, Homelander, it's like the end of
lasers them. Like,
it's, yeah, like the end of Invincible, you know, like, look at what the, you know, it's like, yeah, you can send as many F-22s as you want against Homelander and you're going to send a whole bunch of fucking pilots in pine boxes home to their families.
Right. Yeah, I did not feel threatened by that phone at all, but I did like the line when he says, I can hear like your clumsy fucking fingers fumbling, scratching around on whatever it is.
And I understand why this appeals to Ryan. Like, hey, buddy, it's not your fault. I'm not mad. Like, I'm your father figure and I'm not mad at you and I'll always be here for you and no one can ever hurt me and no one can ever hurt you while I'm around. And that's got to be very appealing to a kid, especially one with as a weird a life as that he's had.
Oh, yeah. I imagine he feels terrible about killing his mom and having, you know, someone tell him, look, it's not your fault. Yeah, it's probably a big thing for him. Then we go to the AG, where we find out that the Attorney General is on her way to Vought Tower to search for Maeve. She's got search warrants and everything. And that's where Maeve is.
Can we pause and talk? Because, like, I want to talk about this, which is the first of the kind of, like, I think, critique of liberal politics, where you got, like, two opposing protests and you got someone with the bullhorn saying, we've got the official tools of state and we're going through the proper procedure and we're getting a search warrant. We're going to come here. We're going to get the truth, versus Vought just openly subverting it. Well, we're going to move Maeve before they get here. And you can, mm-hmm, you can have your AG and you can have your search warrant and you can shit in your other hand and you'll see which one fills up with justice first. Okay, well, what do you do about that? What do you do if you're doing, sure, all the right things? You're voting and you're protesting and you're going through the official channels and you're getting your search warrants and you're respecting everybody's rights and the other team doesn't. Well, what the fuck do you do? And this kind of, like, they have to know that that's what they're suggesting. Mm-hmm. What do you do then if those things fail?
I mean, you hope that the other side that's playing dirty gets sloppy and then you can prove it. And then you can use the official mechanisms to
prove that they've fabricated events so that they can laugh at you and say it doesn't matter and continue to acquire power. Like, yeah okay. Yeah, let's.
An unreasonably high bar to clear to make anything happen there. And when you do clear that bar, they move the bar higher, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a Lucy football, Charlie Brown situation. Mm-hmm. And again, the show is pointing out, I think, an accurate state of some of the predicaments we're finding ourselves in. But, like, I get, you know, gee whiz, what do we do about it?
Yeah. All right. Ashley gasses Maeve to knock her out. We don't actually see them move her here. And this is what I'm talking about when we are jumping just constantly between scenes here.
There's another problem. Like, I thought this was filmed where, like, Ashley and the Deep were taken aback by Maeve getting gassed.
Oh, really? I think maybe the Deep was. This is Ashley's doing, certainly.
Yeah, so it's like, it's okay. That makes sense that she's, or maybe the Deep's doing it and she didn't tell. Because like I said, I thought they both looked, or maybe it's just both. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like it felt like they're both surprised when she stood up and started coughing. And the way the music cut was like a trap. And I guess, yeah, it's like we like Maeve, so we don't like to see her gassed. But
sure,
I thought it was another weird little mini scene that didn't that was confusing.
Then we go over to Butcher, who tries to reconfirm their mission with Soldier Boy, but he doesn't get any real answer, and he'll do this several more times in the episode until he finally gets his answer face to face with Homelander.
Yeah.
We see Huey wiping his bleeding ears in this scene just to remind us, like, hey, he's not got many shots of this V-24 before his brain turns to Swiss cheese.
Yep.
And then we go to the second half of the Maeve being knocked out scene, which is her being transported in a truck. She wakes up, she escapes, and we're out of that scene.
Good anesthesiologist, worth their weight in gold. We had a shitty one here.
Probably not a lot of anesthesiologists qualified to work on soups, though.
This is true.
How do you dose a soup properly?
It's like dosing a heroin addict and you have no idea how much heroin they've taken or what's already.
Right? Yeah, it's like how it gets tricky. Dosing Frenchie versus dosing Kimiko is probably two different things. Even though he is like an avid drug user, I imagine she has more natural resistance.
But then they ever hooked up to a brain scan? Like, why do you got to wait until her eyes are opening before, like, oh shit, I have to give her more? Like, I don't know. Feels like a little convenient. Sure. They just forgot to anesthetize her. They just didn't have the handle on it.
We're back, and without any ado here, Frenchie just manages to get his hands on the neurotoxin that can knock out Soldier Boy and presents it to MM in a bottle of Starlight perfume. And then they talk a little bit about what happened with Todd. MM knows he fucked up.
If this glass bottle breaks, it seems like it would kill a lot of folk, Jim.
Yes. Don't drop
Let's remember. Let's track this bottle throughout the episode and see what happens.
Okay. Let's do it. I mean, I feel similarly about Ryan throwing a baseball into at supersonic speeds into.
There's somebody in Minnesota just fishing on one of their 10,000 legs. Like, oh, yeah, the crappie bite. And he just gets beamed at 500 mile an hour baseball. Right. Yeah. It's the damnedest thing.
Out of nowhere. I did find it kind of funny. They always throw in these little touches, you know, with branding and stuff, but Starlight's Wish is her branded perfume, which of course she has a line of perfumes
because they all would want her to. I mean, she's got the vibrator. Why not the perfume? Sure. I did, like I said, I think the mother's milk stuff worked. We talked about last episode, how as big a shit as your stepdad is, or your daughter's stepdad is, and how you really don't feel good about the Homelander stuff. You can't put, like, of course, Mother Marvin knows about all this stuff. He feels terrible about it. And I thought Frenchie was interesting. It's like, well, I don't know how I feel about it. It's like, well, your daughter needs to know the whole you. Like, this is a part of you, but why are you so passionate? Why are you so angry? Maybe this does work if you have like a legit banger, like, oh, the soup, you got super Nazis you're fighting, but like I don't know if you genuinely have mental and emotional trauma. I do think you should shield your minor children from that as best as you can. Yeah. I don't think it's like, you know, the reason I punch out dudes in supermarkets is because way back when my granddaddy was killed by a runaway, you know. It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Sure. But, I mean, it's a reason. It's not an excuse. That kind of thing.
It's an exceptional reason. It's an exceptional reason that, you know, only works in these very exceptional circumstances, you know.
I like what it's doing. I feel like MM's story with his daughter has been like the strongest of the what is a father kind of themes.
Yeah.
In this show this season, because like he's struggling with being there for his daughter physically. And emotionally, And I think like Todd kind of filling in those gaps and, you know, in all the wrong ways, in our opinions, I think, certainly. But being there, being present in her everyday life, I think there's like, there's a lot of commentary going on there on what makes a good father. Is it simply being there, being present physically, or is it being a in my opinion, good parent and, you know, guiding your child emotionally in the right directions? And I certainly don't think Todd is doing that. I think he's doing the opposite. Whereas MM starts to do the work in this episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so. No, I agree. And I like overall the way they've developed Mother's Milk throughout this, the last two seasons, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Ashley and the Deep come clean to Homelander that they lost Maeve. And simultaneously, Black Noir re-enters Vought Tower and tells Homelander they need to kill Soldier Boy. And Homelander welcomes him back with a hug.
Yep, he's got all of his animated friends at his back too, egging him on. They open the scene establishing that like Homelander's outburst in the last episode has hurt Vought and hurt its stock and hurt their popularity. But it doesn't seem to have had any real effect. Like, it's one of those things where they say something has happened, but then they immediately erase it by the end of the episode.
And they set up a dichotomy here, right? Between like the admiration that Homelander is getting and the, I guess, trouble that Vought is having as a company because of his actions. You know, there are two competing interests here. Which one will win? In my mind, Homelander and his ego win.
Right.
But we'll see. Butcher knocks out Huey and leaves him in a gas station bathroom. And then Soldier Boy wonders where he is. Butcher says, he chickened out. He ran.
He's the little gets done a runner. This is how you avoid Butcher being a monster. You know, at the last minute, when the reality of Huey's about to take his tip fee and we're about to do this, he's like, you are the spitting image of my brother, which is not right. Mm-hmm. We've seen his brother.
Right.
But in terms of like their moral value and role they play in his life, I think is what they're going for. This is Butcher's way of punching Huey in the face and knocking his ass out is his way of caring for him.
And leaving him on a piss-covered bathroom. And
leaving him on a piss-covered gas. Yeah.
Face down. Yeah, I love it. This is very Butcher. The plan has changed, right? Like Butcher calls an audible mid-plan. That's very much his way. And then Huey's description of it at the end when he finally gets back in touch with Butcher, he's like, you did it in the worst way possible, but I appreciate what you did.
Soldier Boy is like so checked out that like he knows that the plan has changed and he should be alarmed by it. But, you know, I don't know why you trust Butcher so much, I guess.
Does he, or is he just really high? Just like he way
could be
too
really high.
High,
or he could also just be on his own supply. Just thinks he's invincible.
Sure.
It's a good thing for Butcher that he was pretty easily mollified about this whole thing.
Yeah. All right. A-Train visits his brother to tell him the good news about his new heart, and he asks him to coach him, but his brother realizes he murdered Blue Hawk and kicks him out of the house, telling him to never come back. A-Train tries, you know, says, I'll make it right. His brother's like, how will you do that? Every time you try, you make it worse. And then stay out of my life. This is a devastating scene for A-Train.
I mean, to me, this is telling me that A-Train's going to be a valuable ally next season, because he's completely, you know, he's seen the ways of Vought and how they immiserate people. He's been freshly awakened to social conscience and duty. He's been repudiated by the person that he cares the most for in life. And he's going to, you know, they tried to recruit him this season. It didn't take. They're going to recruit him next season. And it's going to be Homelander against the world, which is, I think, one of the things you could take away. Like any type of like authoritarian fascist regime tends to self-destruct in the long term. Now, that long term could be a bitch, could mean 50, 60 million dead worldwide. Sure. but it's not a sustainable, philosophy and a way to live your life. Like a reactionary philosophy based on incorrect facts is never going to be able to succeed in the real world. But yeah, it can cause a lot of pain and suffering on the way out. I feel like the A-Train's being positioned to be like to do a heel face turn next season.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of expected it to happen even quicker than it has. Over these 8 episodes, but yeah, next season seems like.
Do you think he'll ever be able to win his brother back?
I don't know, dude. That's rough. Although I guess if there's hope for MM, there's probably hope for A-Train. You know, MM seemed to be pretty far down a psychological rabbit hole, but he's digging out. So maybe.
Yeah. Sell your like the mentholated vapes. They showed the A-Train brand, like, you know, that's the wildest thing. Racially, like marketing particular cigarettes to particular races. I wonder if is there a Latino cigarette? Is there like an Indian cigarette?
I genuinely don't know. Who are cloves for?
Actors who are pretending to smoke on TV.
Okay.
And straight edge kids, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
But I think it's like, and why some things and others? Like, why isn't there like gas, you know, that's marketed to particular races or something, like, you know, BP or Exxon. Sure. Exxon's for, you know, like we got the mentholated. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I like that they leaned into it. He talks about his mentholated vapes.
Get your
fast cash apps and your mentholated vapes. Get the hell out of my house, you murderer.
It's definitely ironic because the mentholated stuff is what like tears holes in your lungs and shit, right? Like, I know it's all bad for your lungs, but menthol is especially bad.
Is
and
it?
For a runner,
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, it wreaks havoc on your lungs like you wouldn't believe.
Runner, holy shit, yeah.
And should be promoting good health. I mean, vapes, sure, they're not as bad as cigarettes, but mentholated vapes?
And like, do you want to put anything in your lungs if you're a performance runner?
That too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like Olympic track athlete, I'm probably not vaping. Maybe
give
I'm
him
wrong.
An energy drink. Give him a like a Gatorade or something.
Yes.
Not mentholated vapes.
Has it done that too? But I don't know. That's the other thing is like, I wonder if that's supposed to tell us that he used to have the good endorsements. He used to have the Gatorades, the energy drinks, and all that stuff. And now he's like slumming with fast cash app, like payday loan shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could be
that
they're showing a sign of how far he's fallen.
Yeah. Did they say mentholated apes? Maybe he is in on that NFT stuff.
Of course, he's referring. You gotta be watched. You gotta be careful. Anytime we're talking about black men and primates.
Oh,
you're referring
geez.
To
yeah,
the Bored Ape cryptocurrency, right. NFC or NFT bullshit. You're not making any kind of like sly overt. Yeah, yeah.
No,
okay.
Fingers off your keyboards. It's not at all what I meant.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just want to make sure. Just want to cover you.
Fair. Thank you for that. All right. Starlight picks up Huey at the gas station. She tells him the temp V is fatal. And Huey realizes, oh, my God, Butcher saved my life by punching me in the head. Huey tells a story about how his perception of his dad changed when he realized why he was eating pizza rolls, and he apologizes for being a douchebag the whole season. And then Starlight gets a phone call from Maeve.
This is the one
story.
Yeah.
Because it's touching and it's meaningful, but it's also so ridiculous. Like, dad started buying pizza rolls in bulk after mom left. I just find that line hilarious and so true, right? It's like, yeah, I could see it. And then seeing that Simon Pegg is in this show.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, part of like maturing as a person is realizing that, you know, your mom and dad, as piece of work as they may be, were probably, in most cases, trying to do as right by you as they possibly could. And sometimes, you know, as an adult, you look back and be like, you know what? Actually, even scoring everything fairly, they could have done more. But a lot of times you look back and be like, Jesus Christ, they really did their best, you know? And I think this is Huey kind of realizing that. It is weird because, like, this is now a seasonal trope. Huey intoning into the camera the lessons he's learned about being a real boy and interfacing with the real woman that he's trying to date. And it's like, Jesus Christ, get your shit together, man.
And the real big brother he's trying to impress. Yeah.
Right. Right. I don't know. Like I said, I don't care. I hate Hugh. I don't like Huey. Starlight's not my favorite. Putting them together is my almond joy. I don't want any part of it. So it's like, I keep secretly hoping they'll break up and they won't, we have to deal with this for a season.
Boy, I feel like you should be rooting for them to get to a healthy place where you do like them and appreciate them.
I
want
to root for Starlight to settle down as Monster Man. Fuck that. No, for him to grow.
Well, you can't grow out of
Monster
Man.
Even if he grows, he's still a Monster Man, but like he's a garbage Monster Man on top of it. He's not even like a sexy or confident or dynamic one. Like, get out of here.
Fair. Fair.
That's what I think.
I forgot the Monster Man status. the other thing that happens here is Starlight and Huey then show up at MM's place and ask what Maeve, what happened, and then Kimiko. This is all still like Fast and Furious, right? This is happening in the first like 10-15 minutes of the episode. Mm-hmm. All of the shit that we've been recapping here. This would be an episode's worth of shit on a good day in another show or in another episode of this show. But it's all here in the first 10. Starlight, yeah, and Huey show up at MM's place, ask Maeve what happened, and then we go to the bathroom where Kimiko confronts Frenchie about doing so much coke, and he says it's because he's realized he's always been controlled by somebody, whether it was his papa as a child or little Nina now.
Or Butcher.
Kimiko tells him, or Butcher, yep. And then Kimiko tells him his past is not who he is, and she sees something in him just like he saw something in her. Like I said, this episode is on as much coke as Frenchie, because it is wildly off the rails here. Just
they left just so much unfinished business. Like they had to have the, you know, and I feel like they could have done a better job pacing this. I don't know why Frenchie and Kimiko couldn't have this talk last episode and let it breathe a little bit. But it's like, yeah, they had to like, man, like you think about all these like one-on-one heart-to-hearts that happen, like Starlight and Huey, Mother's Milk and his daughter, Kimiko and Frenchie, Soldier Boy and Homelander, Homelander and Ryan. Like it's Mother's like, Milk oh my. Yeah, all this stuff was unfinished business from the previous episodes. And you're right. It takes place at a breakneck pace that doesn't let any of this stuff kind of breathe.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with this. It's just like I said, it's a lot to do.
Yeah, it was very clear they got to this and said, oh shit, we have a lot of stuff to do and this is one episode and we're out. So
yeah, I had to look because I didn't know what Mon Cour was.
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it's like I expected that, you know, if they're going to do an untranslated French phrase, they would use something like mon ami or you know, what's the mon cheri or something. This is my heart. This is French for my heart. That's what Frenchie is to Kimiko. So yeah. If you didn't bother to look up your French translation, I did it for you.
All right. Maeve learns that Homelander is Soldier Boy's son and he's headed to Vought Tower and they need to take him down before he gets to Homelander. And Huey has another wrinkle to this plan. He also wants to be sure that they save Butcher.
Yeah, they have to get everybody out of the tower and also save Butcher because... I thought that stuff was pretty good because everybody on the team had a reason to be the hate on him. Huey got his shit sorted. Frenchie is now looking for the good in people. And Mother's Milk is still kind of skeptical, but like, fuck. He'll be outvoted, so...
Right. Yeah, I do like the complex tapestry of motivations and sides that they have here, right? Like why? So Maeve is traveling with the group, but she's not in lockstep with their goal. But right. They're all going to the same place. And how will that shake out? You know, is Soldier Boy going to hug or fight Homelander? I think there's like a lot of interesting dynamics they're setting up here. And strange combinations that somehow they make sense. Which is not to say that it all pays off, but mostly.
Yeah, and I guess I see why they tried to cram so much in this episode, because that's so much more satisfying if Frenchie has a realization. He's coming out of the bathroom with a completely different, more positive outlook on life and people's past history and judging them based on that, just as Huey is trying to, like, it the flow fits nicely. But on the other hand, if it also makes the episode feel overstuffed. Maybe it should have been a 90-minute episode to give the things a breathe. Maybe they should add a 10-episode season. Or maybe they pick a lane and stop swerving all over the place. But I feel like I saw what they're going for. It just didn't quite work for me because of the way it was paced.
Yeah, I think it works better than it has any right to, though, given how strangely complex it is.
Mm-hmm.
So then Butcher and Soldier Boy talk about their fucked up fathers. Butcher turns down a call from Grace during this and disables his phone. And Soldier Boy tells...
Which I thought was going to be the payoff of the clumsy finger stuff, and it doesn't, so...
He just shuts it down, yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why is he shutting it down and taking his SIM card out?
I don't know. Does he think she's going to try and talk him out of it or something? Like,
maybe. Maybe that's what he's terrified of, that what's going to happen is what happens at the end of this episode. He loses his focus and his will and lets Homelander off to hook.
Could be. Soldier Boy tells his story of how he became a soup to prove to his father that he was worth a damn, and how that spectacularly did not work. And then Butcher tries to convince him that Homelander isn't really his son. Soldier Boy doesn't seem like he's going to hold up his end of the deal at all. Like, he's suspiciously noncommittal here.
Yeah, again, we're getting a lot of backstory about, you know, that's vital to understanding the end of this at the very last minute, at the last hour. I thought it was nice to shout out to the 1951 Oscars that they lost to American in Paris, the classic Gene Kelly musical. I thought that was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I don't know, that, like, Soldier Boy was like, fuck no matter what he did. Like, he's a rich kid, and when he's just being a rich kid, his dad is disappointed. When he tried to apply himself and do something and, you know, take this compound V, his dad says he took a shortcut. It's just like, you know, his dad seemed like it was impossible to please. And I feel him on that.
And he doesn't say what happens immediately after that, but I assumed he killed his father after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he gives this very dark look, like, I don't want to tell the end of this story.
Huh. Okay. Could be, but I can see. I mean, he's certainly a murderous psychopath.
Yeah. I feel like that was one of the ways that he turned into a murderous psychopath. But we'll see. He's still out there. Homelander asks Black Noir about Soldier Boy, and the only thing he'll say is that he's bad and he must be killed. And he asks if Noir knew about Soldier Boy being his father. When he answers yes, he kills him. We think. I mean, he certainly grabs his entrails and rips them from his body, but who knows what that means. And then Noir's cartoon characters see him off into the afterlife.
It's another thing where it's like, God, you guys need to decide whether you're going for the joke or you're going for an emotional gut punch. Because when that, you know, a beaver comes out and it's like, oh, soon you'll be in a sweet embrace of Christ the Lord, it's like, I want to laugh, but also last episode they mined some real pathos. Like,
they spent so much time on it too. Like, a good chunk of that episode is spent with him in that restaurant to no payoff, zero payoff here.
Yeah,
and there's again, nothing I think, even emotionally or thematically paying off here. He's just unceremoniously killed. So
I felt like Black Noir deserved better. He's like, you can make, you know, like the Deep is a joke character. Never going to feel bad for him. That, like, if they ever try, fuck you guys, if you ever try to make me feel sorry or any particular way about the Deep, he's just a joke character. Sure. Black Noir was always a tragic, kind of interesting figure. And, like, last episode made even more so. I don't believe in a million years that Black Noir is dead.
Me, I'm a sucker. I do. Like, the entrails.
But why? His brains got beat out. His guts are his weak points?
Yeah, his guts are his weak points. No, only part of his brains.
I hate to tell you, there's 3 feet of guts in him. My biology textbook says there's about 37 more feet inside him. So, like, yeah, he's still got partial gut containment. I don't know. I just, like, this is a weird tonal choice to make me feel so bad and so sorry for Black Noir and then, you know, have him go out on a stutter, an animated stutter joke.
Yeah, for no reason. It's useless, but.
And again, they're telling us a story. Like, they're the way that this is a beautiful death that they, you know, because like the way the animals kind of slowly disappear from his eyepiece and all that. It's just, I don't buy it, man. I don't buy it.
The thing is, I don't even think this really enhances Homelander's story is the troubling thing. Because I could see, you know, making a character's pointless death a point for a different character. But
yeah,
I don't know that it does all that much heavy lifting in that regard either.
Well, it just illustrates the reactionary authoritarian problem in that, you know, if you get the world always chasing after wrong things, that you're whipped them up and they're, you know, you make people angry at things that are not the real problem that's keeping their life in misery, then you're always going to have to find the next thing that's betraying you, the next enemy, the next. And like Homelander, he's never going to be able to love or trust anyone. Like Ryan will let him down. Arguably already let him down once. Eventually he'll like that. The thing he said at the beginning of the episode about I'll never leave you, always be there. It's all bullshit.
Well, Ryan's probably going to see him for who he actually is. And
man, I don't know.
Homelander will let Ryan down is the thing.
Well, yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know. He's being clearly groomed by Homelander.
The other thing is, it's wildly inconsistent how they treat Homelander's vision and hearing. Like, this guy's got, like, sure. I think they established this. He's got super vision because he can see Black Noir's face through the mask. He's got super hearing for sure. They've referenced it, but it seems to be extremely selective. Now, I guess I could go back and rewatch the series and actually see, like, if these, when Homelander is, like, on the other side of the door and he walks in, he feigns ignorance, whether that's just an act. It could very well be. Mm-hmm. But it comes across as inconsistent. Like, what can he hear? What can he see? Is there any weird limitations like lead? Feels like that's going to be important to know going forward if he's going to be the arch villain.
Yeah. I agree. Starlight's group goes to Butcher to try to stop Soldier Boy from attacking Vought Tower. However, Maeve wants Homelander dead, so she throws Frenchie's nerve agent and MM's gun out the window. And a fight between all the Supes threatens to break out, but Starlight's team instead agrees to be locked in a safe, the bank vault.
What the hell? They have a safe. Was this always part of the plan that they're going to lock people in safes? It felt weird to me, this whole sequence.
I think it's just like a stall tactic by Butcher to keep them off his back long enough for them to get to Homelander, right?
Did they establish that this location has a bank vault, though?
I can't remember.
Earlier in the season? It felt like it came out of nowhere. It's like, get in a safe. I'm like, what fucking safe? You know?
I had flashbacks of Star Trek Picard season 2 with What's-Her-Face's apartment. Like, there were some weird goings on in that apartment.
Right, the Watcher's apartment.
Uh-huh. They talked about the safe. I was like, wait a second, what show am I watching?
It's like, well, we need a way for Butcher to plausibly lock someone into a closet, but it's got to be a super closet. Obviously, I know, yeah. This triangle building, Flatiron building has a safe on this particular floor, but there could have been, I don't know, they could have, and maybe they did, so I'll stop talking about it. Maybe people in a wrap-up episode next week will tell me where I'm wrong, but it just felt like out of left field to be like, all right, you into, like, this is a part of a plan that was pre-existing, he's just repurposing it for something else. And I felt like I only got the latter part of that, where it's like, oh, here's the safe, get in.
Yeah, it's tough, though. And I don't really know why Maeve... No, she doesn't end up in this safe. She goes with them, doesn't she?
And Maeve grabs the this is where she grabs the neurotoxin, and, right? Or is this
she just takes it and throws it out the window. Into New York City. At 1,000
whatever blocks hits, like, it just kills the whole block, right?
Yeah, this is a neurotoxin that is super strong, capable of taking out incapacitating a soup, and it's just gonna land in a park somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine it's roughly what would happen, like, in the, you know, the beginning of The Rock, where those, like, glass things break and it starts melting the dude's face off. Uh-huh. Only it's going to happen over several blocks of Manhattan. Like, what the fuck?
To the point where I kind of expect the boys, the show that is the boys, to follow that thing. And we get to see it land in, like, an elementary school or something, right?
Right. Like, and then it's like Maeve is kind of got, like, a shade of dark to her, which we know she does. She's been hanging around with Homelander so long that some of that is, you know, like, she's had to numb herself to and some of that's rubbed off on her, but
yeah.
Or like, honestly, you, I don't know if you can throw a glass bottle through a plate glass window and not have it break.
Probably, but
and did Maeve even know what the fuck? I don't like. Yeah, that's another like where I felt like, man, I wonder if this was like an originally like an hour and a half episode, and for whatever reason they cut. But why would they cut it? They don't need to fit it in any particular. I don't know. It was weird. It's weird, and I didn't understand it.
Maybe she threw it into the ocean. They are pretty close.
That's true.
Wherever you are in New York, and
that's true.
To be able to hit the ocean for a soup.
They could have addressed that, like, you know, like Huey could have been like, my God, that's or you know, the person say Frenchie's like, my God, that has enough neurotoxin to kill 10,000 people. And May's like, relax, I threw it 5 miles into the Atlantic. It's like,
right,
okay, I believe she could do that, but they didn't say it. So
yeah. All right, A-Train, Ashley in the deep are listening to the evacuation warning from Starlight, going out on her social media or whatever. They want to evacuate, but Homelander won't let them. And a very unstable Homelander reveals what he did to Black Noir and tells them all to do various levels of fucked up things. For A-Train, for the Deep is to commit treason. If for A-Train, it's to tell the world they're the only source of justice. And for Ashley, it's to take off her wig. And I fucking knew it. I knew she'd turn out looking like Gollum eventually. With all that hair pulling she was doing.
Yeah, she looks like she went beneath the earth and forgot the taste of bread. Yeah. let me ask you another question. Another bizarre thing about the show. Why did Homelander whisper in the deep sea the mission that we're going to see him carry out in the literal next scene?
Right? I don't know. That seems a secret without a point, but sure.
Yeah. Like, it literally happens the next scene. He could be like, I need you to kill, but that's treason. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. And then the other thing is, like, how many of these scenes are we going to see where Homelander is just to be an abusive father before the team well and truly turns on him? I get he's terrifying, but I guess that's you know, quote unquote, realistic.
I mean, what is the team now?
These patterns.
The Seven has been decimated. The Seven is Homelander.
Decimated would be if 0.7% or 0.7 of them right. were killed off. Right. Like,
which this you is stab yeah. Homelander in the ear. Maybe he has a 0.7 power. I don't know. But yeah, there is no Seven anymore, right?
Yeah. And he's like, it's all about, like, you know, he's blaming everybody but himself.
Obviously.
You know, that's the one thing in common here, you know, Homelander. It's like they're all in a relationship with you, dude.
The vice presidential hopeful, I don't remember his name, gets into his pool at
Vice President drowns in this
out.
Episode.
Yep.
That's what his
Thanks
name was.
The Deep. I expected more, I guess, from this scene too. I didn't expect just the Deep to be lurking in the deep end of his pool.
I thought
just
it was
pull him
funny.
Under. I expected there to be like a shark that would attack him,
yeah.
or an octopus that would grab him up.
But,
and
but it's
got to
look
death.
Like an accident. If he just literally grabs him and takes him underwater, he drowns, and then it looks like he's drowned, and then there
sure.
you go. But if a great white is like bit him in half, that's a little harder to explain.
But then you're right. You're absolutely right. It just doesn't feel very The Boys to me.
You're right. That part is true. And also, like, they show this shot of the Deep, like, pondering what he's done. But again, like, anytime they zoom in and they have the Deep looking thoughtful, I just feel like there's, like, circus music, you know, uh-huh. going, playing. There's, like, this pipe, like, you know, circus pipe music going. So it's like, again, the Deep's not even, he's just comic relief, man.
Yeah.
Stop having him feel things at the camera.
It's like if they did a slow zoom close up on a very thoughtful Stifler from American Pie. There's nothing happening there. Nothing.
Yeah, or it's like wondering what a golden retriever is thinking.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. No thoughts. Just fluff. That's what that's going on between the deeps here. Can I get my dick sucked by an octopus? If not, I'm going to have a vacant expression on my face.
If not, can I get a ding dong or a ho-ho? Because I'm hungry.
Yep.
All right, Starlight breaks them out of the safe and they go after Butcher and Soldier Boy. Frenchie says he could make some more neurotoxin in the Vought Tower lab. And it sounds insane, but the crew goes for it. And Huey sees a vial of V24 and grabs it just in case. Temp V,
yeah.
I guess, is what they're officially calling it in the show. This does seem like a truly insane plan. I mean, they're going into the heart of the evil soup tower, and they're going to try and buy Frenchie enough time to make some neurotoxin.
Yeah, and I guess there's a sense of urgency because Butcher's going to do it no matter what. And they have got a head start, so they can't regroup, they can't rethink, they can't get more chemical. The only way out is through, which does, I think that's a good narrative choice. That does propel the action forward, for sure.
I was kind of surprised by the suggestion that you could make neurotoxin in the Vought Tower lab. I was assuming this entire time that that was something that happened over in Russia. That they had created it over there.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It just, well, I think his point is the only laboratory well equipped enough to synthesize this chemical, this Russian nerve gas, is Vought Tower.
I suppose so.
I don't think the Vought Tower has stocks of it. He's making it,
but
he's,
I didn't realize that he could material. Create it either. Like, he had to go get it from somebody. I didn't know that he knew the recipe and that the tower had the equipment. Because
they've mentioned, like, Frenchie is, that's like, that's his specialty, like drugs. And he's like, you know, like in last season, I remember when they were in the mental institution, he was talking about, you know, using this agent to anesthetize like the like a Hulk type of guy. And yeah, I imagine.
And they're still, you know, keeping that chemical on hand, I guess, in case other soups get out of hand or what?
Well, no, I don't think, I think he is synthesizing it from raw stock.
Yeah, but the chemicals to synthesize it. Like, you can't make meth without the correct chemicals to synthesize it, right? You need methylamine.
But isn't the whole point of like a well-equipped chemistry thing is like a chemist could make meth no problem. You know, it's just, it's illegal to do so.
Sure, but do they stock the chemicals? Are they readily available on hand, or do they need to special order them? Like, you wouldn't, like, it's a chef who cooks, you know, vegan food isn't going to keep fish on hand, right? Because that would be insane.
Yeah, I'm not enough of a chemist to know, like, what all, like, how hard it is to make stuff from precursors and how much you got, you know, versus just making it, like, can you, you know, if something's, because, like, so many compounds just have, like, you know, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. So, like, if you had that raw element, could you make it? Or do you have, I don't fucking know. But I believe the Frenchie can. And he knows enough to know it's possible, and he's doing it.
Yeah. Just took me by surprise, that's all. Homelander is watching videos of his father when Butcher, Soldier Boy, and Maeve show up. And Homelander tries to convince Soldier Boy not to fight him by introducing him to his grandson, Ryan. However, Soldier Boy sees him as a disappointment and decides to kill him. Ryan gets in on the fight. This is where things start to get very hard to recap. Ryan gets in on this fight, gets punched, which causes Butcher to change sides and attack Soldier Boy, while Maeve fights Homelander, and then Starlight, Mother's Milk, both show up and join the fight. Kinda. I mean, MM just mostly fires one shot and then stands off to the side while the soups fight. But yeah, you got a whole lot of stuff going on, because Frenchie and Kimiko at the same time are in the lab. And Huey calls in a terrorist threat to evacuate the building while they can, buying them all time to make the neurotoxin.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club. But some people aren't a joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
So this is why I felt like anticlimactic, because I thought they were really going to have like a test of character between Homelander and Soldier Boy and Ryan. And and I think what happened makes sense that like Soldier Boy just, you know, went to his father's pattern. But it felt more like he was saying it because he had to, rather than he really felt it. But I don't know. Like I said, I didn't quite get, they built this up that there was going to be like a change of heart but the deep down Soldier Boy's is an empty suit and all he's got is his dad's resentment that he can pass on to his son.
I mean, it definitely feels like that's part of what's happening here, right?
It could be the Soldier Boy's is so one note that like the idea of caring for him as a character, and we don't like, you know, I guess Homelander's a little bit. Nah, Homelander's got a lot of notes. They're all bad and dark and minor right. chord, but it's a whole fucking Phantom of the Opera suite. The Soldier Boy has just got he's just a dumb jock that's super repressed in terms of masculinity, and
super
it didn't
entitled.
Feel like there was like 30 seconds of mostly Homelander trying to pitch to him, and then him being like, that's too bad I wasn't around to keep you guys from being pussies. Punch Ryan. It's not clear to me like why Butcher freaks out about that, because Ryan can take the punch.
Sure.
Kill Homelander. Kill Soldier Boy. Then you can protect Ryan.
Like, yeah.
When, you know, they had this moment that I think is supposed to feel epic where Freudian slip. Homelander and Butcher both laser Soldier Boy at the same time, and they look at each other like, yeah, we're teamed up temporarily to protect the boy. But it felt dumb. Like,
yeah,
I'm kind of on Soldier Boy's side. He's like, I thought you said blood didn't matter. Now you're blinking at the last moment. You're weaker than he is. Like, Jesus Christ, Butcher. Look at what you've done to get to this point. And this kid gets punched in the face, gets the equivalent of a bloody nose, and you're going to call the whole thing off.
And same with Homelander. Like, he's out of this fight for a good couple of minutes, simply like hunched over Ryan, making sure he's okay. And I'm like,
yeah,
he's got a slight cut on his forehead, dude. He's not that bad off. Go fucking kill the guy who just punched him. I'm like,
and then he finally, the end of that is this Homelander just essentially, as soon as like Ryan opens his eyes, saying you're okay, and abandoning him.
Sure.
So yeah,
which of course he was okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. During this fight, Maeve gets her eye gouged out by Homelander, which was pretty intense.
I think some people might have a problem with how well Maeve did against Homelander. Do you have a problem with that?
Not at all.
Why not?
Because I don't know the relative strengths of all these characters. A, it's hard to tell. But B, I feel like she wanted it more. You know, it's that old trope. But she really does want to kill him more than he wants to deal with her killing him at that point.
I always thought it's like, I always intended her as like clearly the second strongest in the seven too.
Sure.
Like, yeah, she can like bloody his nose for sure. And also that I don't think Homelander really wants to kill her. I think he wants to keep her alive to at least harvest her eggs. So he is, I think, pulling his punches and trying not to kill her.
Sure. Yeah, that makes
sense. He'll wound her. He'll gouge her eye out. He'll make her stop. But like the whole, because like his whole affect due to most of this fight was, stop fucking with me. You know, like she's an annoyance. She's distracting him from the thing he really wants to do. And I also think she's just ridiculously powerful. It's just she's not as powerful as he is.
Yeah. When was he going to extract her eggs? How long you got to keep her around before you start the egg extraction operation?
That's a good damn question. Maybe the other thing is like, you never know.
Just do it.
What, like, because like, is Homelander deluded enough? He's like, well, I'm just going to let her think about that. And then maybe she'll like, you know, since it's inevitable, she'll come around and like do it willingly.
Oh, boy. Hasn't he already tried that with Maeve? And that has not worked for him. So
does he believe it, though? Because she told, like, because in his mind, Maeve might say that just to try to hurt him. It's not a genuine, oh, she deep down loves me. She's just trying to fuck with me because we're fighting right now. Like, you just, like, guys think that they think scary shit sometimes.
Yeah, some guys, for sure. And that kind of guy certainly would.
Are you hashtag not all menning a discussion between Maeve and Homelander here, Jim?
Well, I'm trying to put into perspective how fucked up Homelander is. And how fucked up people who think that way are. Yes.
All right.
Frenchie also gets shot in the leg while Kimiko fights off the guards, but the ass gets made. Butcher manages to break Soldier Boy's shield and then gets his ass kicked. I don't know why he was like, aha, I've achieved some small victory. Now let me stop fighting as hard as I was before and get my ass kicked.
I think that's supposed to be a moment when you blow up his shield.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, it's the source of his power. But it didn't feel that way.
Because he kind of didn't give a shit, right? It's like, okay, yeah, you killed my shield, but I'm not Captain America.
Right.
It's, yeah, this is not the blow you think it is.
Yeah, I'm flightless Superman. Yeah, I don't need the vibranium shield, dipshits.
Right. Kimiko tries to gas Soldier Boy, but he stops her, and Huey sees Starlight in trouble from the control room here. And I think he cranks the power and the lights and everything in that room to give her more power to absorb, and she uses it to blast the shit out of Soldier Boy, and then MM jumps in there and tries to gas him.
I think that's growth. Huey goes from how can I jump in here and save Starlight to how can I support her with the things she needs to win on her own merits.
Yeah, this is a what would Starlight do moment. She would not take the temp fee and risk her own life stupidly.
She would trust in her friends and allies and support them. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. Did we, what did you, we've already moved past it, but like, what did you think of Kimiko's flash dance beating the shit out of guys routine?
That was fun.
Okay. I thought it was pretty fun too.
I didn't know why
she went psychotic at the end.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, she's keeping the beat.
That was the thing. I thought they were going for like a Shaun of the Dead Queen moment where they were beating the zombies with pool cues, but it wasn't quite as good or as synchronized.
It's another thing where like it felt like a stripped down version of a thing that would have worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they just had so little time. Season. Yeah.
A lot goes on here. Maeve stabs Homelander in the ear and then jumps out the window with Soldier Boy to save everyone as he goes nuclear. I don't think I like this. Because Maeve should be dead. She was depowered as they were falling. No human could survive a fall like that. She should be dead.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Homelander's ear problem first.
Oh, we could talk about that first. Sure.
Okay. I thought you're having a problem with her, like him, like just piercing. I'm like, well, I think if anyone could do anything, I think Maeve could shove a sharp metal object and pierce Homelander's. Because I thought she killed him for a hot moment. Because I'm like, holy shit, that thing's awful long. I think it went into the middle of his head, but I think you're supposed to understand it. It like burst his eardrum.
Yeah, which like, is a
the most delicate part of the human's body, and you know, Maeve is super strong, and it's a steel rod, and yeah, you know, but okay, so like, I thought you were saying that wasn't plausible.
Nope.
Yes, Maeve. How does Maeve survive this?
I have no idea.
the moment that blast went off, she should have been a normal human being falling 30 stories to her death. If the fireball didn't kill her first.
Right. We've seen it depower Supes instantaneously. How does she survive that?
And maybe it's not instantaneous. Maybe it takes like a couple seconds to take effect.
Sure.
Because I guess there's precedence because Soldier Boy did blow, like when he first did the very first blast, and he blew Kimiko through like, what, 4 cinder block walls?
Okay.
She did not die, but she was in really bad shape. So maybe it takes a few seconds for the V to get flushed out of your body and that last vestiges of strength. But it's
all right. I'll buy that. I'll buy it.
I don't know. I'm playing defense for the show. I don't buy it myself though.
The bigger problem I have has nothing to do with technicalities of or timings of people getting depowered. I think it's a mistake to not fucking have this go off and depower everybody in the room. I think depowering Homelander is the most interesting thing you could possibly do in this show.
Yeah.
And they just fucking dodge that. They just let it pass right by. I think it's a much more climactic ending to what is ultimately like a non-interesting ending to this season.
I guess I agree, but I didn't because that's you and I's kind of ideal for a cliffhanger. Something impactful happens. How do people react to it? But I guess the natural counter to that is, well, Homelander just shoots V again because that works with no problem. Like, it just gives him his powers back.
Sure, but they've got time here where they have to decide, like, what are we going to do with Homelander? Because
I guess that's true. It's like Vought has to go along. That's where Stay and Andrew comes. It's like, what makes you think we're going to give you V?
Right? Or are the boys still going to kill him? Does, like, if he's not a Soup,
right,
is he still a threat that needs to be handled? And is it ethical or moral to kill a human being who doesn't have the supreme power that Homelander has when he's superpowered?
Yeah, it's also a weird arc for Maeve because it was a whole about like, oh, I thought you were a real hero. Well, a true hero, you know, lays down their life to save others. And Maeve, like, didn't even have to do that. She's arguably got a better life now. She got no powers. She's missing an eye. She got her old girlfriend back. It didn't cost her anything but her eye. And I think Maeve would trade her left eye literally for a normal life with her girlfriend. So,
right.
It's weird how they muddled all that sacrifice up.
And I think it's super interesting to ponder the question, do we kill Homelander right here and right now in front of his child?
Oh, true.
Like, that's an extra wrinkle, right? Like, are we going to become the monsters? Like, I don't know. I think it's by far the more interesting option, and they just don't do it.
I liked that... I like how they color coded Ryan to look so much like Homelander, like all his
red,
like,
white, and blue baseball tee.
Yeah, and he's got the hoodie that kind of looks like a cape. I thought that was really cool. And I think if the rest of this episode would have worked, we'd be talking about the really cool inversion of last episode season where Homelander's calling Ryan to him and he hides behind Butcher because he's more afraid of Homelander. And this season where, you know, he now goes and grabs Homelander's hand and is more afraid of Butcher, or maybe resentful of Butcher. Although I got the idea that Ryan also could be saying, please, he just doesn't want Homelander to kill anybody more. And he's going along with his dad just to save people's lives. But then the cinematography tells me that Ryan's turning evil at the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe this is the last good deed he does to save the boys, and then he goes flying off with his dad and becomes a psychopath.
Could be.
Yeah.
They're definitely telling a dark story for him. We'll get there. There's a couple more scenes here with the aftermath of this. I thought there was a moment before we move on, also to do with Ryan and Butcher, where I think, like, you have to remember that this is Butcher at his lethal limit with the Temp V, and his brain is turning into Swiss cheese. And he, Ryan is not biologically his son, but he clearly has some affinity for him, doesn't want to see harm. And this might be the very last time he sees Ryan. As he's flying off with Homelander, he doesn't know how long he has left to live. And there's definitely a moment there where they linger on Butcher watching that. And I felt that was a pretty good moment. The other thing we didn't talk about this in relation to Maeve stabbing Homelander in the ear, this makes me think that Newman could definitely explode his head. If he's not immune to steel rods from superpowered blows, then I don't think he would be immune to Newman's head exploding capabilities.
Yeah, if you can bloody his nose and punch his eardrum.
Yeah.
Granted, superpowered, but then so is Victoria Newman.
Uh-huh.
I kind of think you're right. She could pop his head, or at least incapacitate him.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, let's move to the aftermath of this fight. Maeve's memorial segment is happening on VNN, even though she's not dead, but they're kind of spinning it as if she's dead, right? They think she's dead.
I think I don't think anyone officially knows she's alive.
Right. And then we see Butcher's watching that on the TV in the doctor's office, where they tell him that he has only about a year to live and they can't risk any more operations on him. So that's his state at the end of this.
He's considering this St. Michael's necklace that Becca gave him, that he gave Ryan, that Ryan threw back at him. And thinking about, oh my God, my life has gone so wrong. How has it happened?
Yeah. And then we go to MM, who's coming clean with his daughter about everything he knows about superheroes and who he is and why he's that way. And she accepts him for it, which was sweet.
Yeah, she can be proud of her family's history of trying to fight for justice. And sometimes the injustice of all makes him sad and mad. Like I said, it's a good plan B. If you can't keep your crazy from your kid to try to explain the crazy.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I don't know. She said, "You know, you're my hero, daddy." I thought that was sweet. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, like, with the way this episode ends, I don't know where she goes with her stepdad, because boy, there is a diametrically opposed life philosophies at play here.
Yes. So then we go to Starlight visiting the injured but pretty much fine Maeve. She lost an eye, who says she's depowered now and she's leaving with her girlfriend. Starlight thanks her for her help with everything, and then Maeve says goodbye.
I hope she goes Pirate Patch. I think Maeve of the Pirate Patch looks pretty bad. Be pretty badass.
I mean, your options are severely limited at that point, right? It's either full sunglasses all the time, a la Tommy Chong, or it's eye patch. I mean, what are the other options?
Glass eye.
No, the Sammy Davis. Is a glass eye a legit option? How good are the glass eyes now? Are they very good?
I think the only way you can tell a glass eye's glass is like when they, like if you pay attention to their eyes actually moving, because it doesn't ever move, right? But yeah, I think that's the most natural looking thing. Like the worst thing is like you might look like you have a lazy eye at certain angles, but Pirate Patch is pretty cool.
I think it has more potential to creep people out with the glass eye than it does with the eye patch.
Maybe.
Personally, if I ever lose an eye, I'm going with the patch.
I've known two separate people with glass eyes, and I knew them a long time before I knew they had glass eyes. Maybe I'm just not observant.
This makes me wonder if I knew those people too and never realized.
Yeah, one of them went to the church we went to.
Is there any name you can give that wouldn't give away who this is that would tell me who it is? <'Cause>
do you remember the old lady that turns out was the Do you remember the old lady who was the no-shit sister of John Dillinger that went to our church?
Yes.
Her husband, do you remember him?
Vaguely.
He had a glass eye.
All right. I don't think I interacted with him enough to know.
Yeah, you're pretty, because I said he died when I was like 16, 17. Yeah. So you yeah. But yeah, so there's at least one.
All right.
They walk among us, Jim.
The glass-eyed?
The glass-eyed.
Yeah. All right, that's fine. They're entitled to it. All right, Ashley watches video of Maeve being picked up by MM and deletes the footage, so she knows that she's alive, I suppose. Soldier Boy is refrozen, and the Deep watches his wife's news tour where she's bashing him and selling her new Aquatic 50 Shades book, is all I can describe this as.
Yeah, In Too Deep. His was deeper. I forget. And he's just, what is, again, he, this is circus music. I don't know what this guy's thinking. He's just watching this. Yeah. Is he stuff happy? Is he with, sad? Is he sta- oh,
he's
stuff
definitely
in his face?
Sad. That's sad eating. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Who gives a shit? It's the deep.
Right.
Maybe we'll go work at SeaWorld in Sandusky next year.
Yeah.
Again.
So there's potential to extract information from Ashley about Maeve still being alive, right? I know she deletes this footage and wants to cover it up, but she knows.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like so far, so ever, at Vought, it's just Ashley and this technician.
Yeah.
Crime analysis technician that know that Maeve is still alive. That might be interesting because I think that if anyone's going to be tortured, it'd be the technician.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because she even has like a look on her face where she's not quite sure about what Ashley's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. I think I got to call her Annie now officially because Annie shoves her suit into the garbage chute and gets invited to become one of the boys. And then the VP's death is on the news. And it turns out that the Vought-backed presidential candidate announcing their new running mate is actually Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Newman. The butcher says, she's got to go.
She got to go, definitely.
So yeah, we have the new big bad for season 4.
But we already have our big bad as Homelander.
Nope, new big bad.
What the shit? We need a mini Newman. Boss? No, uh-huh. No.
Well, you need a speed bump in season 4 so that you can end this show on what I guess is the new standard for television shows, season 5. I feel like of them aim for the season 5 finale, right?
This is season 3, though. We got still, if it goes to season 5,
so
it's going to be...
deal with Newman?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know how they keep Homelander sidelined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed... this season until like the last episode or two. I think this show is imminently salvageable. I hope they have in their mind an end state, because that's the thing that frustrated me about Better Call Saul, is that like I just felt like every end of every season, for 4 seasons, they just flip the script and have Jimmy be Jim, like they just roll him back, and they find some of them are clever and interesting,
know
but
the
like
end state for him, it's just like, when do we want to get there?
Dude,
right?
When do we want to pull that ripcord? And like, yeah. Homelander, I don't know, because it's the same thing. Like, I feel like we keep ending his story on the exact same note. And there is differences. Like, now he's got a son. He did feel vulnerable. You know, he knows there's threats out there in his life that make him vulnerable. He is now zapping people's brains like he always dreamed of, right in public. I thought that was, so that's what I'm saying, like, what do you do about this? Because at the end of this episode, we looked like there was roughly equal numbers of Starlight fans versus Homelander fans. Now it's like a lone Homelander or Starlight fan in the sea of Homelanders. He throws a can at this kid. Homelander snaps and vaporizes his head. There's that moment where the crowd didn't know what to think about it until Mother's Milk's daughter's stepdad thinks it's the most awesome thing he's ever seen. And then the whole crowd coalesces around that.
Yeah.
And the crowd goes wild and Homelander's feeling a certain way about it. And Ryan makes this scary face that I haven't seen since like Kristen Dunst Interview the Vampire. Like, this kid is fucked up and evil.
I mean, this is, you literally can't do anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
At least nothing that you'll be punished for.
Like any norm or rule you break, any crime you commit will just be contextualized as the new normal.
Yeah.
And like pointing it out that it's happening doesn't seem to do any good either. Like, yeah, no. I don't, like I said, I'm very curious to see what this show's prescription for dealing with something like this is.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe in season 5 when they have to bring the show to a conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the other thing is like, beginning this season, like Stormfront and Homelander's fan base was a distinct group. Now they've merged, like the Stormfronters and the Homelanders are just like rallying together, having a good old time. Yeah, it's scary stuff.
And yeah, it's something that he intentionally did, right? He co-opted those people. Like, he realized what was playing to them, and he incorporated that into his speeches that he was giving at events, and let that feed his own ego even more. And yeah, suddenly he's this unchained monster. And so are his acolytes here.
I guess that's the difference, is because like the end of the, each season status quo, like Homelander was in a chain of some sort.
Sure.
And now he's not. There's like, he's got a son by his side. The only thing you can say is, like I said, he's been humbled this season, and he's felt fear. He's been physically hurt. But I don't think that chains him. I think that emboldens him to take more action. But
physically he's been humbled, but emotionally he's been bolstered, right? Like this new group of fans, who see him for who he actually is and appreciate it.
Yeah, can Homelander and Ryan take on the whole world, though? That's the question. Because it looks like more and more that's what they're going to have to do. They have no team. They have no allies at Vought, even. God, I wish we'd seen Stan Edgar other than as a goddamn cartoon character.
Yeah, and I do wonder what the Seven and Vought even looks like in the next season, because as far as I can tell, there is no Seven anymore.
Everybody who was part of it
is either dead or turned against it.
There's still the dead official. Is the Deep canceled? Because that's the other thing, is like Vought was doing these hit pieces on the Deep. So like the Deep kills a senator for Homelander and still gets fucked over?
Yeah, it does seem like VNN is at least, you know, airing that message, which to me is tacit support of it.
Yeah, it seems so. It's like, what the hell did he do? How did he disappoint in the last moment? Or is this Homelander? I guess that's the theme with Homelander. He just is, you know, it's never going to be enough what you do for him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what his wife was telling him, right? Like, this guy is not your friend. You're not going to earn his respect. So just play the game. But I don't know. We'll see what it looks like next season, because I don't know how you have a Seven that is only two people, one of which... isn't even really like
2.7 because we're taking a 0.3 off a Homelander because of his eardrum.
We'll see, but that's the end of the episode and the season.
That's the end of the episode and season. We do have a ton of feedback already that we're going to consider next week. We haven't gotten around to feedback for a couple weeks. We want to wrap up this season. Have you guys, how'd this strike you? Are you still fully on board the boys wagon, the boys hype train? Has it partially derailed for you? Were you disappointed a little bit by the finale, or do you think that we are crazy? We like to know all those things. Anything that we thought we missed or overlooked, excitement that you have for next season, trepidations, whatever. It's all on the menu. DHS, Department of Homelander Security, DHS@baldmove.com is how you get a hold of us. And again, we'll be back next week to put the boys to bed for this third season.
They've been naughty.
They have been naughty. They're going to the bad room. DHS@baldmove.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.